Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll discuss the Minnesota National Guard youth camps and check in with the Marine Corps League. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Military children play an important part in the life of a military family. They give our service members encouragement, love, and hope for the future. They're a special group of kids, and in times of separation from their military parent, they have a unique set of challenges. We've learned over the years that one of the best ways to nurture and empower military kids is by connecting them with other military children. They might be the only one in their school with a parent in the military, but there are others going through the same things across our state. This summer, I encourage all military families to get their children connected through camps. There are a handful of camp opportunities available this summer, and I'm proud of the Minnesota National Guard Youth and Teen Camp that will be held at Camp Ripley for two separate weeks in late July and August. The camp allows Guard kids ages 10 to 15 to experience things like canoeing, archery, hiking, and a competence course with their peers from across our state. There are also camps for military kids of all branches of service available in July and August. Even a family camp is available. Our team at Beyond the Yellow Ribbon keeps a watchful eye out for camps offered specifically for military children and posts that information on their website. I encourage you to visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org, pick out a camp that will work for your family, and get your children registered.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said earlier, our first topic today is the Minnesota National Guard Youth and Teen Camp. This summer, approximately 280 youth ages 10 to 15 will converge on Camp Ripley, Minnesota, to attend the annual Minnesota National Guard Youth Camp. The youth, dependents, nieces, nephews, brothers, sisters, and grandchildren of Minnesota Guard members spend 7 days experiencing Camp Ripley and its surrounding environment during the one-week camp session. And here to talk about the Minnesota National Guard Youth Camps is the Executive Director, retired Master Sergeant Rich Kemp. Sergeant Kemp, welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio.
Oh, thanks for having me on today, Tom.
Sergeant Kemp, before we get into this, can you tell our listeners a little bit about how long were you in the military?
I was in the military for 32 years. In the National Guard, and the last 23 of them were as a full-time soldier.
And you just recently retired?
Retired. It's already almost 2 years ago now. Time flies fast.
2 years already? My goodness. Sergeant Kemp, when they had the first youth camp up at Camp Ripley, you were there.
I was. It was back in 1991. The Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard at the time, Major General Andriotti, came up with the idea, and it was put together with a one-week camp then for just the children 10 to 12 years old. And if you were a counselor there, you were also running an activity, maybe pulling night security. So you put in long days, and it's changed a lot over the years.
And how many youth were at that first camp?
There were probably around 70, 75 for a one-week camp.
And you're expecting quite a few more this year.
We have two one-week camps now, so we get about that same amount for each week.
So you've got the youth camp, and then you've got a teen camp.
Right. The youth camp is the 10 to 12-year-olds, and then there's a teen camp for the 13 to 15-year-olds, and they just a little bit different things as they get into the teen camp.
Now, as we said earlier, these are relatives of Minnesota National Guard members that come up and go through this experience. What's the mission of the camps? What are you trying to accomplish in each week?
We're trying to provide a unique, fun, safe experience for children of military members who don't have those friends in school who go through the same things they do. You know, they meet up with kids at camp who their parents are deployed, and they can talk to somebody else who's going through that same experience. But at the same time, it's a fun camp, just like other camps where you have the canoeing, the swimming, and the biking. We just add on. We teach them how to march, and a lot of patriotism involved in the camp. Every day we raise and lower the flag, and the kids do that. And at the end of each flag ceremony, we sing God Bless the USA.
So you're really up there doing that and taking full advantage of 55,000 acres up at Camp Ripley.
Camp Ripley is awesome. They provide so much support for us, the staff up there. And the kids stay in barracks, so they get to experience, you know, where their parents would stay. They eat in the mess hall like their parents would, so they get a lot of see what their parents do and learn a little bit about why they serve.
Now, you're not a recruiter, are you?
I recruit for youth camp all the time.
It sounds like you're putting them in the barracks and over in the mess. Sounds like you're recruiting future Minnesota National Guard members.
We have a lot of the campers that go through our camp that do end up joining the Guard.
And that would only be fitting since their parents belong to the Guard, too.
Exactly. This camp means so much to me. I volunteered for, I got to think about this, 22 years before I actually had one of my own children attend the camp.
And what did your children think of it?
Oh, my daughter is now 12, and she just loves it. And I have a daughter who's going to be 10 this month, and she is just so anxious to go. She gets so mad when she can't go up there right now. So she is looking forward to it, and they just love it.
So the Minnesota National Guard Youth Camp this summer, we're talking to retired Master Sergeant Rich Kemp, who's the executive director of the camp and has been there since day one on Minnesota Military Radio. Rich, who's eligible to go to the Minnesota National Guard Youth Camp?
It's 10 to 12-year-old children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, and brothers of Minnesota National Guard members. And special occasions, we might take children from other branches, but they can apply, and if there's room, we can take them.
And how do they sign up?
We have a website, mngyc.org. They go to that website, and there's a registration tab, and you can do it, most of it online. Some of it we have to do with the health forms and such. We have to have them fill out and have a doctor's signature.
Does it fill up pretty quick each year?
It does. Our teen camp in 2001, the 10-year mark of the camp, we added the teen camp. At first, it was just the 10 to 12 year olds. And 91, we added our 2001, we added teen camp, and that camp we keep down to a maximum of 50 kids, and that one fills up really fast. The youth camp, our numbers have been a little lower the last few years, but I think that's part of the demographics of our military members right now, and I think that's going to climb when the demographics rise.
Well, Sergeant Kemp, up at Camp Ripley, you've got a thing called the Minnesota Military Museum, and that's open to the public. I would guess your campers get to go over there, and that must be pretty interesting for them.
They do. They spend one morning at the museum, both inside and outside, and off. Sometimes we've given them a little quiz to do, so they have to go around and find different things and learn different things about the museum. The camp is divided. The kids are divided up into different groups. And when the camp is full, we have four groups, and two of them named after Air Force equipment and two of them named after Army equipment. So we have a Bradley fighting vehicle. So a group is called the Bradleys. We have a Black Hawk helicopter. So kids are called Black Hawks. And then from the Air Force side, we have the Hercules after the C-130 and the Falcons after the F-16 fighter jets.
So is there a little competition at camp?
There is. They have their own cheers, and we keep it in fun, but they have a pretty good time with some of the competition between each other, especially with the cheers.
Now, you said they stay in the barracks. Do they ever go out in the tents or any of that stuff?
They spend one night. Each group spends one night out in the tent, and each night is involved around a campfire and skits, and there's a lot of water involved, too. There's a lot of water skits, and there's a couple of super soakers floating around camp, too.
Well, you're smiling. You must have a lot of fun up there every summer, Sergeant Kemp.
I do. It's an awesome time. I encourage anybody that can volunteer to come up there. I think I have as much fun as the kids do.
Sergeant Kemp, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to dig in a little deeper and see, learn about some of the activities at the camp for both of those camps. We're talking to retired Master Sergeant Rich Kemp, who's the Executive Director of the Minnesota National Guard Youth Camps, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been speaking today with retired Master Sergeant Rich Kemp, who's the Executive Director of the Minnesota National Guard Youth Camp, which is held up at Camp Ripley each summer. Sergeant Kemp, since this started, I understand that you went through an accreditation process a couple of times.
Accredited by the American Camping Association, and then every 3 years we do the reaccreditation process. They come in and check out the camp, look through all of our paperwork, and just make sure we're following all their standards.
And I understand you have a lot of volunteers up there. My research shows you had about 35 in 1991 and Got quite a few more this year.
The volunteers are the heart and soul of our camp. They are, you know, current service members, spouses, kids of Guard members. We have spouses who come up there who have never been in the Guard, who come and volunteer. We have grandparents who, you know, have retired from the Guard many years ago or come up there and help out. And it's just a tremendous opportunity, and especially just to see what the kids go through from day one until we have kids that come in on Sunday who have never been there before and never been away from home before and are just totally terrified. And then they come the Saturday when it's time to go home, they're crying because they don't want to leave. They've had so much fun and met so many great friends while they're there.
So your number of volunteers must be almost one-to-one with the campers.
Not quite, but for some reason, the first week we get more volunteers than we do the second week, so we really encourage people to sign up for that second week of the camp.
Probably wore out those grandparents. They didn't want to stay for the second week.
We do have some volunteers that do both weeks, and when you're done with one week of the camp, you're just exhausted as a volunteer because you're getting the kids up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and they're not really going down until 10 o'clock at night, and then you've got some things to do after that, and before you get to sleep, you know, it's after 11, and then you're getting the kids back up again at 6 the next morning. So by the end of the week, you're exhausted.
Sounds like you need two shifts for the volunteers, Sergeant Kemp.
Yes, it's so much fun. It's hard to, when that week is over, you're exhausted, but you don't want to leave either. It's like the kids.
Now, you've told us you've got competition between the different groups of the campers. What are some of the activities that happen from a day-to-day standpoint?
Well, it's just like a lot of other camps where you do canoeing, swimming, biking. We have archery. They also fire 22s at a target. They sports in the evenings. So we have softball, soccer, and then the kids that aren't really into that kind of stuff, you know, they can play frisbee or something else on the side. There's something for everybody. They sleep in the barracks, like I said. We teach them how to march, and some of those kids can march better than soldiers I knew in the military. But
it's a good thing you retired if you're saying that, Sergeant Kemp. That wouldn't sound very good. So you keep them busy all day, and there's an educational component to it then, too. I'm sure before they fire any of the weapons, they have to go through a school, and here's how you do it, and here's your safety rules, and here's all the other things.
And they also go to the confidence course, and that's one of the things where they, you know, take a kid who doesn't want to do any activities on the confidence course, but with the whole group cheering them on and trying to do teamwork with them, they all try it, and just amazing the confidence they can build up in that one afternoon on the confidence course.
So that's the obstacle course, is that what that is?
Yes.
Only not quite so tough for the campers.
It's much easier for them to do it than it is for me. So
we got to get some pictures of you going over the wall, Sergeant Kemp. So you keep them busy all day. I'm sure they get to see some military equipment too.
Yes, on Friday is actually a military day, and sometimes we'll have aircraft flying, and they can check out a Black Hawk helicopter or a C-130 aircraft. Like I said earlier, they tour the museum, and they also get to, there's an IED range on Camp Ripley, and they get to go out and see some of the things that the soldiers trained for when they go on a deployment.
So is that out by the new town you built up there?
Yes, yeah.
And that's a pretty interesting facility on that camp, too.
It is, and we constantly are changing some of the stuff involved in the camp just to improve it all the time. And the kids can go for, you know, if they're to 10 to 12, it's end up being 3 years. 3 years of the camp, so a kid can go 3 years. So we try to, you know, change a little bit so they don't get bored after that third year. And each day there's also a word of the day, and it can be friendship to patriotism to honor. So a lot of military terms, but we teach the kids about those. We'll read stories we do taps at the very end of the campfire every night. So they kind of get a little bit of the military in there and a lot of patriotism.
A little tradition going on as well.
And the last day, the Friday of camp, at the end of that day, we do a flag disposal ceremony and teach them how to properly dispose of a worn-out flag.
So there's a real educational component all week.
There is.
We're speaking to retired Master Sergeant Rich Kemp, the Executive Director of the Minnesota National Guard Youth Camps on Minnesota Military Radio. Sergeant Kemp, sounds like maybe on that last day of camp, that Friday, some of the actual soldiers that are up at Camp Ripley get involved in this too.
There is, and the volunteers throughout the week are wearing, you know, their civilian clothes, a t-shirt, shorts, you know, summer kind of wear. But on Friday, if they'd like to, they can wear their uniform. So the kids get to see a lot of different uniforms on Friday.
Well, summertime is a busy time up at Camp Ripley all year long, but there must be soldiers and airmen up there training as well.
There is. In fact, it's gotten really busy at Camp Ripley over the last few years, and it gets a little tough to try to fit things in sometimes. But they're, like I said earlier, Camp Ripley is very good to us and go out of their way to make sure we can make the best camp for those kids.
Well, Sergeant Kemp, how do you promote the Minnesota National Guard Youth Camp?
We have flyers that we've put out. I'm also working on a video right now to put together that we can get out there on our website and on the Minnesota National Guard website. But our website is mngyc.org, and you go on there and you can find out all about the camp and sign up your kids and sign yourself up as a volunteer.
Uh-oh, he's pointing at me. We're in trouble now. I don't know about that obstacle course. I think I'm too young for that. We can't do that. Sergeant Kemp, I want to go back to the volunteers. You're still looking for some volunteers for the summer camps?
We are, and I forgot to mention that we have teens that are 16 to 18 that can volunteer as junior counselors, and they help keep us adults in closer relationship with those kids because they're closer in age and they have more energy than we do sometimes, so they're a big help, and then a lot of those kids go on and become adult counselors.
Are there any specific backgrounds, or what are you looking for in volunteers?
We are always looking for bus drivers. We always seem to be short bus drivers, medics, and anybody that can maybe have waterfront license, you know, Red Cross for the beach. We go to the swimming one day, so they're swimming and canoeing. Other things that the volunteers can do is that they can be part of an activity staff, you know, on the range or at a swimming or canoeing or one of those activities. We have admin staff, and counselors is the biggest thing. Most people want to be a counselor, and we don't have enough positions for everybody to be a counselor, so I don't have to help out with the support staff.
Now, if any of our listeners want to volunteer, do they go to the website as well?
Exactly. Go to the website and check on the registration tab and sign themselves up, and they can bring a niece or a nephew or a grandchild with them.
And the website was mngyc.org, and Sergeant Johnny will have a link to that on our Facebook page for Minnesota Military Radio. Sergeant Kemp, we're almost out of time. Must have been some big changes over the years.
There has. Like I said, the first camp was only 1 week, and then we expanded it to 2 weeks, and then we added teen camp, and we added rollerblading for a while, but the course we were using just got too rough a shape, so we were worried about safety, so we took that one out. And last year, we were able to use some pedal cars and just try to change things up. The kids go down that when they get into teen camp, they actually canoe down the Mississippi River, so it's a little bit of a change for them. And they do rappelling on the rappel tower. So,
well, there are a lot of activities
there
up
is.
There, and you've added a lot of things over the years. Sergeant Kemp, we're just about out of time. Any final thoughts for our listeners about Minnesota National Guard youth and teen camps?
I just want to ask everybody to promote the camp out there. If you don't have kids and you know somebody in the Guard, please let them know about it. And if you can volunteer yourself, we can use all the help you can provide for us. And it's an awesome time, a great week. Very tiring, but it's so rewarding to see what those kids come through. It's for me, it's the my favorite week of the year.
Well, one last question. Is there any cost to this camp to the youth?
There is a cost, and it's based on your rank. That's all explained on the website.
Okay, that's all laid out. And so go to mngyc.org and make sure you sign up your children for that youth camp. And if you're able to volunteer, we're looking for bus drivers and medics and some people that can supervise the swimming.
And we also have some sponsorship opportunities for people if they can help us out that way. We have a golf tournament in August that provides a lot of funds for us that really help keep the camp going.
So this is set up in a nonprofit, and that's
yes,
the way you operate.
Exactly.
All right, Sergeant Kemp, thanks for joining us today. That was retired Master Sergeant Rich Kemp, Executive Director of the Minnesota National Guard Youth Camp. on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. In a moment, we'll check in with the Marine Corps League.
You're listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Network. Stay tuned for more and follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we'll talk to the Commandant of the Marine Corps League in Minnesota. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly message from the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Larry Shalito.
At MDVA, our short-term financial assistance or subsistence program provides temporary help to eligible veterans and their dependents. This may include help with rent or mortgage payment, current utility bills, and health insurance premiums. This benefit is income and asset-based and is designed to assist veterans for up to 6 months for those who are unable to work their normal occupation due to a temporary disability or a permanent disability in which they are waiting to receive a disability benefit from VA compensation, VA pension, Social Security, or other long-term benefit. Veterans must provide proof of the temporary disability by their doctor on a medical report and must have worked within 1 year of the date of the medical report. Surviving spouses may also be eligible for this benefit. To learn more, contact your county veteran service officer or visit minnesotaveteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Joining me now is the State Commandant of the Marine Corps League, Vinny Howard. Vinny, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for having me.
Vinny, you are the Commandant of the Marine Corps League of Minnesota, and that can only mean that somewhere in your past you served in the United States Marine Corps.
Yes, I did. I proudly served from 1982 to 1986. I'm originally from New York, so I was a Parris Island Marine. There's always a conflict between San Diego and Parris Island. And I always tend to rub it in, being a New Yorker, so we have a lot of fun with each other.
And how did you get to Minnesota?
I met my ex-wife in karate out in Long Island, and the first time we sparred, she spun and kicked me in the head, so I got even with her and married her.
Oh, Vinny. And apparently she got even with you because that didn't last.
Well, we parted better as friends, so
that's good.
Those things happen.
Now, what did you do in the Marine Corps?
I had a number of jobs. I started out as a communication center operator, and then when I got sent over to Okinawa, I was cross-trained in reconnaissance, field radio, and wire. And then when I got back to the States, in chemical warfare, and then I was one of the original satellite operators when the Marine Corps got that technology.
And from the look of your jacket that you wore in here today, you're a proud Marine.
Yes, sir.
And as they say, once a Marine, always a Marine.
Till the day I die, and then some.
All right. Now, how did you find your way to the Marine Corps League?
It's kind of funny. My wife was at the state fair, and at the 4-H building, they have the Veterans Information section, and she went up to the table and put my name on a list, and it was to be contacted to attend the Marine Corps birthday, which is November 10th. That year, it happened to be on a Sunday in 2007, so after church, I stopped by the VFW in Bloomington, and the guy at the door goes, "Are you part of the league?" I said, "What's that?" He goes, "Well, here's an application." Signed right up. So my anniversary date is the Marine Corps birthday.
Well, you won't forget that one anytime soon.
No, never.
All right, the Marine Corps League, what's your mission? What's your purpose?
The Marine Corps League is the only federally chartered Marine veterans organization in the country. In the state of Minnesota, we have 14 detachments going from Rochester all the way up to Bemidji. Each detachment has various things that they do. Some are geared towards parades. Some are geared towards memorial rifle squads. Some are geared towards fundraising. Whatever we can do to serve our fellow Marines, whether it be active duty or veterans, we grab the bull by the horns and start running with it.
And where do those detachments typically meet?
Either at a VFW or a Legion. The one I'm affiliated with is the North Star Detachment, and we meet at the Richfield Legion, post 435 of 66 in Portland.
Is that a monthly meeting?
Yes.
And first what?
Second Monday of the month at 7 o'clock, and we generally go an hour, hour and a half, depending upon how much activity we have going on that particular month.
And all Marines, whether they're active or retired or just veterans, are welcome.
Yes, they are. We have a few active duty guys. Actually, he's a sergeant major. I recruited him.
You got to have one that's squared away, don't you?
Yeah, well, he's super squared away. I have a retired Fulbert colonel. I have a Marine Raider, which is like the original Special Forces during World War II. We have guys from, you know, other World War II all the way up to the present day.
So you said you had 14 detachments, was it?
Yes, sir.
And how many members in Minnesota?
I believe it ranges around 600 to 700. Not everybody's active. A lot of people join just like joining the Legion or VFWs. They join to be a part of something. The people that are active within the detachment ranges anywhere from 15 to 25.
So what are the requirements for joining the Marine Corps League?
The main one is to be honorably discharged. That is cut and dry. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And then you have to show, you know, the proof of it with your DD-214, and then it, depending upon which detachment, it varies $30 to $35 per year, unless you go life membership.
Has anybody ever tried to figure out how many retired or veteran Marines we have in Minnesota?
Not to my knowledge, but there are a lot. Duluth is untapped territory, and we're working our way up there.
So there's a lot of Marines that haven't joined the Marine Corps League yet.
Not yet, but we'll get them.
And you'd like to have those numbers?
Well, Marines stick together. You know, and a lot of people go to the Legion, the VFWs, which is comprised of all the branches of the service, which is great. But there's something about Marines and Navy corpsmen, they bond together because they train together all the time. And we have very close, tight relationships with our members.
And then there's a whole other relationship with the Navy because they claim they just haul you around.
Well, they drop us off and wave goodbye, but we don't want to open that can of worms just yet.
Well, I was in the Air Force, and we were perfectly happy to have your Marines out front along with the Army soldiers. Well,
thank you for your service.
Thank you. Now, as an organization, the Marine Corps League, what type of things do you engage in? What type of things do you do?
We do color guards. We do parades. We do fundraising for Wounded Warriors or the Semper Fi Fund or the Marines Helping Marines program. We visit the vets at the VA hospital on a monthly basis. We present Eagle Scout Awards. It's called a Good Citizenship Eagle Scout Award to young scouts that have attained that rank. We do a lot of funerals. Actually, I was at one this morning for a Vietnam vet, rendering honors there. And the list goes on and on. We put together fishing trips for veterans. One of the detachments that's out of Prior Lake, they do that. The ones up in Park Rapids, they have a really crackerjack fire rifle squad. And these guys do 40 to 50 plus, you know, funerals a year in any kind of weather.
I'll bet they're impressive, too.
Yes, they are.
Now, Vinny, if I'm a Marine and I'm a veteran and I haven't joined the Marine Corps League, why should I? What's in it for me?
Well, one, just to be with other Marines. Two, to continue to serve God, country, and Corps.
So come together, and I'm sure you work closely with the VFW and the American Legion and the DAV.
Mm-hmm. We're also one of the 9 groups of the Commander's Task Force, so we have our connections there as well.
All right, and we're gonna talk about the Commander's Task Force when we come back, but we have to take a short break. So we'll be back with Vinny Howard, the State Commander of the Marine Corps League, in just a moment. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting this segment with Vinny Howard, the State Commandant of the Marine Corps League here in Minnesota. And Vinny, once again, who's eligible to join the Marine Corps League?
Any honorably discharged Marine veteran or Fleet Marine Force Navy corpsman can come in, and our doors are open for them.
And your mission and the reason why they join?
To bond with fellow Marines, work with the active duty community, help prepare the young kids that are getting ready to take over our shoes. And just the camaraderie is the big thing.
And
it's great. We learn about Marine Corps history, just little tidbits of it when we were in. Now we're meeting the people that made the history. And that's the fun part.
And you said at your detachments, you've got a World War II.
We've got World War II guys all the way up to the present day. And what's nice is the generation gap, there really isn't any, because we earn the title Marine, and it doesn't matter when you served, you are a Marine.
They're all Marines. And Vinny, as the State Commandant of the Marine Corps League, that means that you're also a member of the Commander's Task Force, which
yes,
is made up of the 9 federally chartered veteran service organizations here in Minnesota, such as the American Legion, the VFW, the Minnesota Disabled American Veterans, and, of course, the Marine Corps League is one of those. Mm-hmm. And so you have monthly meetings with those folks and with the commissioner from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.
Yes. It's over at the Minneapolis Veterans Nursing Home on the first Wednesday.
And that's an opportunity for all of those 9 veteran service organizations to coordinate the things that they're working on, the people that they're trying to take care of, and deal with some legislative issues that you feel are important to take care of veterans.
Well, we need to get our voices out there. And everybody can complain all they want, but if you don't take action, nothing's going to get done. And this is a prime opportunity for any veteran to get their voices heard and make a difference.
Well, it sounds like a very useful and a very rewarding committee to be a part of.
It's an honor to be able to be on it. I've attended one meeting as a guest and was just floored at how much goes on. And now, as a part of my duties as the State Commandant, is to be a part, an active member of it. And I've been going to the meetings since September and have met some amazing veterans.
And, of course, past generations have lobbied the legislature and the Congress to take care of the veterans and keep the promise of veterans when they signed up and took the oath of office. And it's important for today's veterans to be a part of that organization and for you to go up to the state legislature and out to Congress to continue making sure we take care of the veterans' issues.
And they're doing a great job. General Shelato and the rest of the crowd, they really do an amazing job at getting their voices out there for every veteran in Minnesota.
Vinny, how are you doing with membership? Are the younger veterans just coming back from the last decade of wars? Are they signing up and joining, or are they busy with their families?
Some are, some aren't. Some are having, issues or going back to school or looking for work. And we leave it up to them. We find them. We have prior service recruiters that we get affiliated with, or Just as simple, you see somebody wearing a Marine Corps shirt, you say, hey, Semper Fi. You start talking, get them talking about their service. Hey, have you heard of the Marine Corps League? No, what's that? You tell them, they're yours. It's that simple.
It's that simple to get them in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of those young people are busy raising a family and starting a career and going to college and all those things, but by joining the Marine Corps League, one of the veteran service organizations, it's an opportunity to lend their voice to today's issues, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So what's
nice is that a lot of the people that are getting out, they went right from high school right into the military. So either they worked at Dairy Queen or McDonald's, served their country, and now they're looking for work. And as older veterans, we help them, whether it be rewriting resumes or mentoring or helping them find work and or get them connected with the Veterans Administration, the hospitals and stuff like that to get whatever treatment that they need.
And Vinny, how do our Marine veterans learn more about the Marine Corps League?
If you can go on the national website, which is www.mcleague.org. If you look to the left, you'll see it says Find a Detachment. You click on that, then you just look for Minnesota, and then you'll see the 14 detachments within the state. And it gives a brief history of the league. And we're also on Facebook under the Department of Minnesota Marine Corps League, and we have pictures up there. We get information from the other detachments as well, and it's a great site put together by my public affairs officer, Chris Anderson.
So for all of our Marines that are out there listening to the show, if they're interested, they can go to mcleague.org, find out some more information, click on the detachment, find out when and where they meet, and just show up and say, hi guys, I'm a Marine.
Bring your honorable discharge, your DD-214, and then we'll get you in there.
All right, Vinny, we're just about out of time. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Anybody that's a Marine or a Navy corpsman, doesn't matter what age you are, you need to bond with people that have been there and done that. It helps to have a shoulder to lean on. And you're not alone. That's where we're all brothers and sisters, whether it be, doesn't matter what branch of service. But the Marine Corps tends to be a little tighter knit, and we look out for one another.
Vinny, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
This is Vinny Howard, the State Commandant of the Marine Corps League. Joining me now is the Director of the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Patrick Kelly. Director Kelly, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, thanks. Always appreciate the opportunity to talk a little bit about the medical center over here, and I hope we can find good things of interest to your listeners. So thanks again for having me.
Director, this spring, we've got an early spring. You've got a new parking ramp out there, and the snow's melting, and the veterans can get in and out a lot easier, can't they?
You know, it's been almost exactly 1 year since we opened up our parking ramp here, and I couldn't have wished for a better thing. I mean, gosh, parking has been good. Helps veterans get to their appointments on time. Of course, it's even better in the winter. So, things are good. It's 60 degrees out here, so it's everybody's so anxious to get a little spring fever here. So it's a good time of year.
That's right, sir. It was St. Patrick's Day 2014, wasn't it?
That's right, March 17th. You got it, Tom.
Director, I understand you've got another town hall meeting coming up.
Yeah, so this will be our third town hall meeting, the second in Minneapolis. And so this time it's going to be the 30th of March, and it's going to be over here at the Medical Center. Our previous one was at the over at the regional office, but we're going to have that event. The actual town hall meeting will be 5 to 7 in our auditorium here near the flag atrium. So veterans can just come in the main entrance, and the auditorium is right there. By where the big flag is there in the flag atrium, and we're doing a little bit differently this time. You know, starting at 4 o'clock, we're going to have a claims clinic, you know, sponsored by the regional office, where you know veterans who need help filing claims can come over a little bit early, and they'll have some benefits managers there, and they'll help those veterans if they have any issues or questions about their claim, status of their claim, how to file their claim, and so. They're going to be doing that from about 4 to 7, and additionally, starting at 5, we're going to be having some information booths for veterans, for OEF, OIF, and newly returning veterans. The Vet Center is going to be here. We're going to have our suicide prevention team, My Healthy Vet, sign up, information about caregiver support. And so we're trying to, in addition to hearing from veterans, which is extremely valuable, we're trying to provide a few more services on site so that when veterans come here, if they have issues that need to be taken care of, we can do it at that time. So this will be our third town hall. We do 4 a year, so the next one will be up north somewhere, probably in the Duluth Superior area. But that's March 30th. Plenty of parking available over here in the parking ramp and some good services available. So, again, claims clinic starting at 4, town hall starting at 5, and lasting for about 2 hours.
Director, are they pretty well attended, and are you learning some things?
You know, the first one in Minneapolis was very well attended, and we learned a lot. I mean, it's not always comfortable because we get veterans who tell us sometimes things aren't going well. And so, we try to address those individual concerns as they come up. But, you know, more importantly, and that's important, but equally importantly is to hear about, you know, sort of systemic concerns about, you know, poor communication or when veterans, didn't understand or when we didn't sufficiently explain or provide the services that they were hoping for. So, we've made some changes as a result of the town halls. And so our first one in Minneapolis, very well attended. Our second one in Rochester, again, very much worthwhile and not as well attended as the Minneapolis event, but it's been, they have been well attended and they're useful for us. And we like to hear, you know, the good and the bad. And it gives us an opportunity to hear directly from veterans where we can do better.
Director, since we last talked, I received a Veterans Choice card in the mail. Have there been some changes in that program?
Well, you know, the Veterans Choice program was stood up about last November, Tom, and it's evolving, and it's not done evolving. And so there's been a fair amount of confusion, largely because it's a new program, but there's a couple of rules with respect to who's eligible for care under the Veterans Choice program. And so if you're a veteran that lives more than 40 miles or 40 miles from a VA place of care, to include a CBOC, you are eligible under the greater than 40-mile rule. Or if you can't get services within 30 days, you are eligible. And, again, that will be prompted or by your when you try to make an appointment over here at the medical center or at one of your CBOCs. It's caused a little bit of confusion with veterans because of, you know, the care that they seek sometimes is not available from the CBOC, even though the 40-mile rule is sort of calculated from a CBOC. And so I you know, those rules are evolving, and I'm fairly certain that rule will change. And I know Congressman Walz and others have made a considerable push to make sure that we simplify this for veterans, that we give the benefit of the doubt to the veterans when it comes to who's eligible, and make sure we expand the program. You know, to date, it has not been widely used, and I think part of it is, you know, sort of getting used to it and understanding it, really on both sides, on the veteran side and on the VA side, and then I think as the program matures and as we get a better understanding and on all sides, more veterans will be using it. But you know, it has also prompted us, and this has been a really positive thing. It's prompted us to make sure that we drive those wait times down so that we can take care of the veterans here. I mean, I think generally most veterans want to be cared for here, and to the extent that we can take care of them here and we can meet their access requirements, we're doing more here. We're doing more walk-in clinics. We're doing more audiology here, more eye clinic here, a lot of those areas where we've had access issues. So it's evolving. I appreciate veterans' patience and in working with us to get it right, but I think it will get better and it will get more widely used the more mature the program gets.
Director, thanks for joining us again today.
You're welcome, Tom.
That was the Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. As springtime arrives in the Twin Cities, it's not too early for you to get a hold of Camp Gratitude for 2015. Go to campgratitude.org and get a reservation in so that you can spend some time out there this summer. And for more information on camps available for military kids, such as Camp Gratitude and the Minnesota National Guard Youth Camp, visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Rich Kemp, Vinnie Howard, Director Patrick Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Commissioner Larry Shalito, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about the recent deployment of the 133rd Airlift Wing of the Minnesota National Guard and learn about the Month of the Military Child. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.